Welcome to this edition of When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine, a discussion of sustainable living and what that means to you and me. I'm Jay Warmke.
And I'm Annie Warmke.
Yes, you are. And today we're going to talk about, is the current world sustainable or great booga booga? Get me out of here. So obviously from that introduction, I don't necessarily think it is sustainable, but or maybe it is. Maybe it is. It's just sustainable in a way that I don't appreciate. So let's talk about the world, right, Annie?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the world.
She's giving me the eye.
So this past week, just to catch ourselves up here, we had several experiences with the world outside of Blue Rock Station. And normally it's just you having those experiences because you always call up and say, you won't believe what was on TV. Absolutely nothing. But you were on a trip, and then I had to go to the airport and in Columbus and pick someone up, and they were delayed. So as soon as you came home, we had quite a conversation about the world and what it looks like when we're sitting observing it.
Right, and maybe we should back up just a bit. For those who aren't familiar, Annie and I live at Blue Rock Station, which is a 40-acre sustainability center in southeastern Ohio. And for the most part, blessedly, we are able to divorce ourselves from the world most of the time. We're fairly disconnected with no television, only visitors who we accept and are of like mind come to us. So we have completely isolated ourselves from the
I don't know how you manage that.
Ridiculousness
I
of the world.
I have to disagree.
There you go. Okay, anyway. So anyway, this week we ventured out into the world, stuck our big toe into this pool of humanity. And
I thought you were gonna say cesspool.
ran screaming back to our homestead. So anyway, but it brings a few observations that we wanted to share. Really talking about sustainability of our society. And when we say our society, we're really talking about America.
Well, we're talking about North America.
Oh, no. Leave the Canadians and the Mexicans out of here. They've got a better handle on things, I think. So let's just – so what were your observations at the airport?
Well, one of the things that that struck me was that people are in a great hurry, but I'm often wondering where they're going. And also that people seem to be spending a huge amount of money based on what they look like and the cars they're renting and their general luggage appearance. And and they seem to always be staring either off in the distance looking at something, which I don't know what that would be, or they're looking at that rectangle for their phone, or many people were sitting eating fast food, so that's another thing, fast food, and looking at their laptop. And the airport's changed considerably in the last couple of years. It's been modernized. So there really is only fast food. There is one restaurant. So anyway, I just kept thinking as each time the plane was supposed to be there and then it was delayed, that I'm so grateful not to be flying on planes all the time anymore or just at the mercy of whatever other people's schedule is. I just felt like my life is more focused on experiencing my day, experiencing nature. I do work pretty hard, and so a lot of days I don't experience as much nature as I would like. But I just felt like, I don't know, I feel like I'm a Martian just waiting to go home, and maybe I don't even want to go there. I don't know.
I think the rest of us feel that you're a Martian as well, you know.
Okay, so, that's good.
But I think part of what we were less...
Well, wait a minute. Just let me say. I have a theory about that, and that I think that one Martian knows another. So if you recognize me as a Martian, perhaps you are one as
All
well.
All right. Nanu, nanu. So anyway, the that dates me, doesn't it? But we were talking about it's. I mean, we don't want to just sort of say, "Oh, we have this blessed existence," you know, underneath the oak trees, and the rest of you guys are out in this pool of weirdness. Even though that's true, that there seems to be really a sense of disconnectedness in a hyperly connected world. You know, I think. What
you,
we're
you mean
seeing,
electronically connected. I don't think people
yeah,
are connected.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know that. The people are in mass, individually in mass. You know, when you're staring at the rectangle and you're, you know, surfing whatever they're surfing, it feels like those individuals are all disconnected from the world around them. There seems to be a huge lack of situational awareness, you know, walking out in front of cars or being completely self-absorbed in the selfie mindset of not being aware of just even little politenesses, holding the door or whatever. People are just disconnected. I don't know how better to say it. And I think those folks who are seeing that every day.
Give an example. You told me about when you went to the Four Corners.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, while you were at the airport, actually a good friend of mine and I went wandering the America and ended up at the Four Corners out in New Mexico, Utah, Colorado, and that other state, Arizona, I suspect. And the thing that struck me, because you're in the middle of this just awe-inspiring nature of huge buttes and vistas, and everywhere we looked, everyone was on their phone taking pictures or taking selfies or checking emails or whatever. And it just strikes me as somehow wrong. And I know that's judgmental, but it's like here you are in the middle of this nature and your world is still the rectangle. And that feels – I mean, we started this talking about sustainability and now we're telling people to get off our lawn, you know, and grumping at them like we're, you know, aging hippies or something.
So, because I was thinking about what you're saying. And so in my life this week, I had some really strange news that was quite unsettling. And so I was really upset, and so I decided that the way I was going to deal with that, because there was no way to really change what was going on, was that I was going to walk around the farm and savor what my life seems to be for myself. And so I went up to do chores, and I massaged my favorite goat, who promptly looked me square in the face and looked very charming and lovely to me and loving. And I went for a walk with the dogs, and I hand-fed the pigs some things. And I could just feel myself feeling better and better and better just because there were these connections. And so what I feel like you're saying is that when we use the phone and our whole experience is to take pictures or to be looking through the phone, we really remove ourselves from what the whole point of being there is, and that is to have that connection with things that are bigger and bolder than we are.
So when you're saying that, it just sort of it crystallized in my mind. We say, is this world sustainable? And I guess my answer to that would be, of course it is. Is our current behavior sustainable? And there I think we're hitting some bumpy roads. You know, this the electronic connectedness. We see this with our telephone. We see it a little bit with television, where there are too many choices. Too many choices are almost no choice. But we were just chatting about virtual reality, and my observation, as virtual reality becomes a thing, it's already a little bit amongst the margins of the geek population where you're playing with this stuff. But once it really invests in society the way the mobile telephone is invested, I really think we're looking at like the next heroin, you know, the next completely consuming distraction. I mean, if you can create a world of virtual reality where your life is not as abhorrent as it appears to be in reality, why would people ever leave? And that's going to be an interesting situation, an interesting development that I think will long for the old days of the rectangle where people just stared at this box in their hand instead of being completely immersed in the distractive universe instead of, you know, just at a tangent to it.
Well, part of the challenge will be how the brain interacts with that technology, because when we create thoughts that are reoccurring, it in our brain, there's like a pathway that's etched in the brain. And so if we're etching in our brain this virtual reality and we etch it deeper and deeper and deeper, depending on where that's occurring in the brain, I don't know all those terms, but I know this is how it works. It seems like it's an addiction that would be impossible to overcome. And especially if you live in a world where things are getting less sustainable, more insects, more heat, more water, more or less water, more cold. So to escape from it, you know, at a time like when people don't have meaningful work, many of us do not have meaningful work. That's just a formula for disaster. You know, working at McDonald's, three different McDonald's, so you have enough money to pay for a one-bedroom apartment without a car or anything, you know, this is not the way life should be. One of the other things that we talked about with virtual reality was also all of these appliances that are going to be hooked up to all kinds of monitoring, and they're going to be clamoring at our brains to answer them and take care of them and fix them or pay attention to what they're trying to tell us. And so that just increases all of the stimulus that we're experiencing, because we experience everywhere I went this past week, there was a phone, a TV going, sometimes a radio going. Then we would go to a restaurant where there were four televisions and music playing. And I just think, wow, when do people ever have quiet? And how does the brain heal itself or settle itself when all of that stuff is going on? And what do people hope to be able to gain from that? I don't see how that sustains life.
Well, I think we are, again, just at the edge of this where, you know, you leave your refrigerator door open and it beeps at you. The dryer beeps at you when it's done. That's sort of R2-D2 beep beep. But when these things become smarter and are constantly wanting you to address whatever need they perceive you have or they have, you know, then it's not only the distraction of the media and the advertising, but all your appliances are like beating you over the head saying, hey, the toaster needs cleaned. Hey, your coffee maker is still on. Do you still want coffee? I mean, all of that tends to be this background noise that just makes you unnerved, if nothing else.
Well, the other thing that I thought about this week was that I was in an Airbnb. It's a little old-fashioned apartment. And there was a huge television. And I wanted to see if just what all that was about. And I realized how much time would be involved in watching television like this person does. So there are hundreds of boxes, and they keep scrolling like a betting machine, a slot machine. And I couldn't figure out how you would really determine what to watch, because everything had to be paid for that I found. And I just kept thinking what an amazing amount of time went into just figuring out how to entertain yourself.
Well, you are listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warmke. And reminding you that it is the end of the world as we know it.
And thank God.
Thank God. Well, and and you know, here we are. We're talking about, is our current lifestyle, is the world sustainable? And I mean, we sound a little bit like George H.W. Bush looking at those scanners in a supermarket and being marveled. Oh, hey, they know what the price is. I mean, all these things that we're observing maybe for the first time are things that are normal in most people's lives. And I guess it's interesting to have the perspective of seeing it for the first time, because we kind of just venture out periodically, you know, like groundhogs emerging to see if the sun is shining.
Wait a minute, I'm no groundhog.
but so it's like the boiling water, you know, with the frog. You turn it up a little bit at a time, you don't really notice. But when we jump in, these things are stark and noticeable. And I think the accumulation of this technology, before we move on, I believe, is it raises the background noise and creates this underlying sense of disquiet. And you may not even be perceiving it, but it's a lot like traffic noise in the background that makes you feel anxious.
Well, the other part of it is that it's trying to sell you something. You are not really a person. You're a consumer. And one of the things that I'm super aware of, since I don't really shop, is when I haven't been to town for a week or more, and or when we have Thanks for Nothing season, which I haven't been in a store for maybe 4 months, how much the prices have changed, how much less is in the packaging, even though it's the same price and the same size package, how much every single thing you're looking at is an advertisement. So even watching television, I know when we've been in a hotel or at somebody's house, every single scene is set up to sell products. So it could be cars, it could be computers, clothing, jewelry, with the idea that if you, not an active message, but an involuntary message that says if you just have these things, then your life will be like the people in the film or on the television show. You'll have lots of friends. You'll feel good about yourself. You won't have problems. And this is really disturbing because that creates a whole mindset that is not sustainable. It creates unrest. It creates a sense of I've got to take what I need because I can't get it for myself and I want to feel better. And it's also a bombardment to the mind and the soul to have all that going on. I know one time when we were living in France, I came back after, I guess it had been about 8 months, to visit, and my mother had one of these huge televisions. So I said to her, I can't stay here while the television is on, because it was on all the time except when we went to bed, because I feel this vibration in my chest. And she said, oh, you're crazy, you know. And I kept saying, no, I can feel it. And then I talked to you on the phone, and you said you had read an article about how the Arbitron people were running these messages in the background, so you really can't see or, in theory, hear them. But apparently you can, because my body was definitely feeling bombarded by it. And it's all about the call letters and all that kind of stuff. So there's all kinds of stuff bombarding us in terms of stimulation that we're not even aware of. So how can we have health from that? How can we have calm and less stress from that? And these are all things that really play on your psyche too.
Well, I can hear, you know, someone listening at this point going, okay, of two minds. One is, you know, you're right. Our society's a mess. So you're not offering any solutions to this. It's just you're observing what I see every day. That's one mindset. The other mindset might be, you know, it's easy for you to sit here and be judgmental. I kind of like the way things are. I kind of like having access to all of these things. You know, our society today is better off than it was 100 years ago, and we're better off than we were 100 years before. So,
well, better off in what way?
We
get more vaccines, but we're getting sick from them.
I don't know. We just ate a nice meal at a Thai restaurant 100 years ago. You would not have access to a Thai restaurant.
Well, we would have gone to another country and eaten it.
That would have been
somebody's house.
That would have been a longer lunch hour.
Okay, so, or someone's house.
So
that's a really good point, Jay. We would have gone to someone's house and had a Thai meal. Someone who's from Thailand who immigrated here. But we don't do that either. I know we had a meeting after Mr. Trump was elected because we had an awful lot of former interns who were quite distraught about the turn in events. And we said to them, in terms of offering suggestions, is that what we need to do is to form better, stronger communities with those people who share some of our ideals. And the way we do that is let's eat together, so have a potluck. And they all said, we can't do it. They'll think we've lost our mind. And nobody's going to want to talk about any of this, or if they do, they don't want to talk about it in a way that fits in what I believe. And I think that's a big challenge in this culture, is that we do want to remove ourselves. It's like, then we don't have to be responsible for our behavior.
Well, do you see, for instance, over the years, 1950s, 1960s through the 90s, the food industry basically became commoditized and industrialized. And we saw a very fundamental thing in our existence go from the family farm producing or your neighbors producing, creating meals in the home to an industrialized product, a food-like product that was not as nourishing and not as maybe satisfying as everybody remembers their grandma making. So we saw now in many communities a move back towards local food production, local food in restaurants. And I think that's a reaction to that. Now, obviously, it's not the total. It hasn't replaced or done away with the commercialization. But those people who are disquieted by the commoditization of food have an alternative.
That's not necessarily true, because as people who have the ability to buy and purchase those things have an alternative. But for most folks, there may not be, because first of all, that change that happened in the 70s had to do with the government saying that they wanted to have ways to get people to eat more food. Well, they couldn't get them to actually eat more food, so they said, we're going to bump up the calories from an average of 1,700 calories to 3,700 calories. And the way they did that was by changing the foods that people bought. So it wasn't a thing of eating fresh vegetables. It was eating things out of cans or frozen things that are injected with a lot more calories. So really, to say we're eating locally is in some ways a very elitist position to take.
Well, I am very elitist. And basically what I'm saying is that farmers markets, those kind of things, have created an alternative. Now, whether you take part in that or cannot take part in that or are not aware of it or educated or even care, there is an alternative in most communities to have access to a farmers market that wasn't there 30 years ago.
All right, okay. But there used to be farmers markets. And the other challenge is, the other biggest challenge is that most people don't know what to do with the food once they get it.
Okay, well, so, we're not going to solve that ignorance here, but I guess what I'm getting
to. But that is about sustainability. Right. That's the heart of it.
Back to the point I was trying to make, which is.
Let's hear it, Jay. What was that point?
Do you see a farmer's market of technology?
Oh, you're finally going to get to the question.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Do you see,
I'm with you now,
a farmer's market of technology? Essentially, a movement away from kind of a Luddite kind of thing. Back, the Luddites rejected the Industrial Revolution. Are we going to see large amounts of people rejecting technology to get back to a more connected human-to-human interaction?
I think there'll be what they called in the 70s back to lander. I think there can be some of that. But the reality is people are abandoning small towns, as you observed on your trip. And people lack knowledge. They're not learning home economics in schools, so they lack knowledge of how to buy and prepare healthy foods. And food's still pretty much grown to travel long distance, so it lacks, you know, the nutrients, and it's also coming from poor soil, so it lacks the minerals. So I don't know. You know, I think people are like the frog in the hot water. They just are going to stay there. And so some of us who are thinking are going to look up and say, we got to create our own path, because quality of life depends on being sustainable, living in a sustainable way. And the people who see that will walk the path with us, and the people who do not will work at destroying us.
Oh, man, you call me elitist. Anyway.
No, I think it's true. I see it. I mean, we certainly have experienced that in our own life.
Well, one of the things you just mentioned on the trip that I recently took, I was really amazed. It was very visual to me to see that the small towns that we drove through are really emptying out. You know, that was very striking. And I guess I had not been aware of that, hadn't heard media reports of that, other than just kind of the urbanization of our population. But to see the boarded up buildings everywhere, lots for sale, no economic opportunity. I don't know where that's going, but it was remarkable to see.
Well, urban planners have been saying this for quite a while now, that the population is going to move to the bigger cities. And so I think what will happen is people will abandon these small towns, but will still have lots of rural people, because those of us that can afford to have land and pay the taxes on the land and utilize the land effectively will still find that to be our way of life. And again, that's very elitist. But let me go back to when you asked the question, what are some things that people could do? Well, one thing I think is we have to, all of us, develop awareness. And that's what's great about leaving Blue Rock Station for a few hours or a day and sort of having a sociology field trip, is to say, all right, what's going on around me? And the same thing needs to happen in reverse for people who don't do that, is remove yourself from the culture. Give yourself a week where you don't shop. Get some extra groceries. Make a menu plan and just don't go shopping. Walk to work or ride your bike. These are all ways that you can develop an awareness about what's around you. Have a potluck meal with your friends or your neighbors or your family, and everybody sits at a nice table with a tablecloth on it and honors the food that's been prepared and grown for that meal. Play some games with your family. Play badminton. Do something that engages you with others. And everybody has a rule: put the phone on silence and put it away. And that is the beginning of how we can change and enrich our life and become a lot more sustainable. It sounds really simple, but honestly, it is.
Or we can wait for the grid to go down. And then we'll all be doing that, and we'll be wandering over and meeting our neighbors, and we'll begin to remember why we liked our phones so much, because these people who live near us are just annoying, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, if we knew our neighbors, we might walk over to our neighbors, but I think the reality is that the grid is going to go down, and talk about a whole nother issue of sustainability. And what are we doing to prepare for that? So that's another solution of not being afraid of it, but just saying, all right, if we're going to lose the electricity, you know, do we have some games? Do we have extra water? Do we have some treats that could be put aside in when this happens? So we're really working together as community and caring about each other and loving each other.
Okay, so the big question is where we started. Is this thing we call our current society, our world, sustainable, Annie?
No, absolutely not.
No, absolutely not. Well, I think it's sustainable.
Well, the world, the planet's still going to be there, but we're not.
Yeah, and I guess the question is sustainable in an enjoyable fashion. I think most people realize
that. Quality of life.
Yeah, something's got to change.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, we're in agreement. Well,
we are. That's shocking.
There you go. You've been listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warmke, both of one mind. Thanks for spending a little bit of time with us. And as your grandmother probably told you, the secret to a happy and sustainable life is?
You better play nice with others, clean up your own darn mess, and don't forget to eat all your veggies, because they're so good if they're prepared properly.
Well, till next time.
Mother Earth will sing, and her children will be healed.
You can find more information on living sustainably in our unsustainable world at BlueRockStation.com.